Well, take your Bibles, please, and open with me to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 24. As I was saying, tomorrow is Labor Day, not today, but it is Labor Day weekend, and I thought, you know, it might be profitable for us to consider what Jesus says about the opposite of labor, which is laziness or idleness. In fact, I not only think it will be profitable, I know it will be, because all Scripture is God-breathed and what? Profitable, including the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, if you didn't know, is one of my most favorite books. I've been reading through it for many years now, and this is one of my favorite passages in Proverbs. The passage where Solomon passes by the field of the sluggard. I just like saying that word. Say it with me, sluggard. You just think slug, slime, lazy, sluggard. All right, the title of the message this morning is You Snooze, You Lose. We often think of that when we're robbing French fries from somebody. That's how I grew up. You know, Dad, look out that window. And you steal a couple of fries. Oh, you snooze, you lose. Or somebody missed out on something. Well, that's not the sense I'm saying it here. But take a look with me. Proverbs 24, verses 30 to 34. And I am reading out of the New American Standard. I passed by the field of the sluggard, and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense. And behold, look at this. It was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, nasty weeds. And its stone wall was broken down. When I saw, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then your poverty will come as a robber, and your want like an armed man. Now, on the one hand, here we have Solomon, the great king and loving father, speaking to his children, his beloved sons and daughters, about laziness. In fact, he's speaking about a little bit of laziness. But more importantly than that, we have here the Spirit of our God, the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest King, the most loving Savior. He's speaking to all of us about the same thing. Jesus here, through Solomon, speaks to us about laziness. But to be more specific than that, he is speaking to us, listen, he's speaking to us about the tragic loss of a little laziness. The tragic loss of a little laziness. And the truth is, you snooze, you lose. But in the most serious sense, you snooze. If you give in to laziness, if you become like the sluggard in life, in ministry, in parenting, in school, if you become like the sluggard in life, the loss can be tragic and irreversible. That's what's being taught here. Let's take a closer look. We're going to look this morning first at the picture, then at the proverb. First at the picture, because Solomon paints for us a vivid picture of the sad consequences of sluggardly living. So we're going to look first at the picture and make sure that we see just how bad it is. And then at the proverb, because there's a proverb here intended for our instruction. It's here to warn us that the same could happen to you. The same could even happen to him. Solomon took this lesson for himself. He thought, you know, even I could give in to a bit of sluggardly living and lose greatly. So first the picture, then the proverb, in order that we do not allow ourselves to fall into sluggardly living, sluggardly parenting, or sluggardly ministering. Notice first the picture, verses 30 and 31. Solomon paints for us a picture of the sluggard and the tragedy of laziness. Verse 30. Stop there. I, in verse 30, is Solomon, the great king. And more importantly, Solomon, the prophet of God. I passed by the field of the lazy man or the sluggard. He doesn't say how he passed by, whether he was on foot, horseback, riding in a chariot. He doesn't say why he passed by. Doesn't say if he was just passing through. But it is very possible that Solomon was passing by on purpose. It was not uncommon for kings to go and check in on their subjects to see how they were living. Do you think kings care what their subjects do and how they live? Ours does. Jesus Christ cares how we live. He is our king, and he certainly sees what we're doing with all that's been entrusted to us. So Solomon says, I passed by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense or lacking heart. What is a field? Well, a field is a field. But back those days, a field was a place where, if you were wise, you would work. It was a piece of land. It was a precious possession. A field was a place where you would sow seeds and pull weeds in hopes of a harvest. This man had not just a field, but what else? A vineyard. Ooh. He had a vineyard. What was a vineyard? Well, a vineyard was a vineyard, but a vineyard was a place where if you were wise, you would not waste it, you would not neglect it, you would tend to that vineyard. And you know there are parables about a vineyard, a vine dresser, tending to his vineyard and it not bringing forth fruit. Well, here, this man should have been tending to his vineyard, but Solomon passes by and he can see that this man has not been working. He says, I passed by the field of the sluggard, and I passed by the vineyard of the man lacking sense. The lacking sense was that he wasn't working. You see, work is something that he should have been doing, but he wasn't. Now, in order, of course, to bring forth fruit, in order for there to be a harvest, you have to get up out of bed. We know from some sluggard proverbs that the sluggard is like a hinge going back and forth on his bed, right? To bring forth fruit and to see a harvest, you've got to get out of bed. You've got to go out of the house and you have to do the required work, which on this cursed earth is not easy. But it is commanded since the beginning. Remember God's righteous judgments for original sin? In toil you shall eat of the ground all the days of your life, Genesis 3:17. By the sweat of your face you will eat your bread, Genesis 3:19. But it's not just Old Testament, right? Listen to this. See if you can finish this. I know you can. If a man will not work, neither shall he eat. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Sadly, Solomon passed by the field and the vineyard of a man who by his name, Sluggard, is known for not working. Not working when he should. Now we need to spend a little bit of time on the sluggard here. This word, the Hebrew word for sluggard, is used 14 times in the Old Testament. I investigated all 14. It wasn't too hard because all 14 uses are in Proverbs. One reason why is because apparently, see if you can get this, apparently, laziness back in those days was a problem. There were actually people in that society who did not want to work. I know that's hard to fathom. But they didn't want to work, and Solomon did not want his sons to become like one of them. How about you, by the way? You who have sons, you have daughters, you want your son or daughter to grow up and be a sluggard? Eesh, ugh, shudder at the thought. By the way, just a tip along the way, what do you think is the best way to prevent laziness? Don't be lazy yourself, right? Kids follow, to a degree, their parents' example. Want to raise a sluggard? Be one. Don't want to raise a sluggard? Don't be one. Let it be that the pattern of your life that your children see is, Dad was a hard worker. Mom was a worker. Mom and Dad were workers. Wisdom is known by her children, and so is folly. Now, what exactly is a sluggard? As I said, I looked up the 14 uses of the term. We're not going to go through all 14. I'm going to sum up my findings, but I will tell you, the sluggard is a riddle. The sluggard is a riddle. Let me explain. He can, but he can't. He wants, but he doesn't want. He will, but he won't. And he's wise, but he's not. Let me take you through those. And you're going to see the sluggard. Sluggard isn't what you think. You think the sluggard is somebody who sits around all day eating bonbons watching soaps. No. I mean, that is a sluggard. If you sit around all day eating bonbons watching soap operas, that's a sluggard. But it's a little more close to home than that. First, he can, but he can't. Turn to Proverbs 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Here's one of our uses of the word sluggard. This one's a familiar one. A sluggard can work. He's not disabled. His problem is not that he's sick or he has no arms or legs or that he's completely disabled. By the way, there are some people who don't have arms or legs and who are disabled and they still work, putting to shame all those who do have arms and legs and aren't in a wheelchair but don't work. The sluggard is, his problem is not that he can't work. It's just that he can't work. How do you know? Just ask him, and he'll tell you. See, he can, but he can't. His problem is nobody is making him work. He lacks initiative. He's lazy. And the solution, by the way, is in verse 6, Proverbs 6, verse 6, familiar verse. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Go to the being on this earth that has the smallest brain and be humiliated by the ant. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which is get wise. The ant, having no captain, no overseer, no ruler, that means no one's cracking the whip, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest, which is not only the diligence of planning and preparation, but the diligence of working the plan. And then this line, which is familiar. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. See, the sluggard's a riddle. He can, but he can't. He can work. He's able-bodied, but he can't because he doesn't have anyone cracking the whip. He doesn't have anyone prodding or giving an incentive. You know, the way to expose or flush out the sluggard is offer a job with some enormous amount of pay. Suddenly the sluggard can work. Or offer a different incentive, like put his life on the line, and suddenly the lazy person is able to work. So this is the riddle. He can, but he can't. What else do we know about the sluggard? The sluggard, he wants, but he doesn't want. Turn to Proverbs 13:4. Proverbs 13:4. Looking at the sluggard here, notice Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard, the inner being of the sluggard craves, your Bible might say desires, but gets nothing. But the soul of the diligent is made fat. Now here, this raises a question, and sometimes you'll see this in Proverbs. There will be a statement, a proverb, and the proverb raises a question, and the only way you get the question answered is to keep reading. So now, turn to Proverbs 21:25, and we see the same expression, Proverbs 21:25. We just saw that the sluggard, the soul of the sluggard desires, he has wants, but now look at 21:25. The desire of the sluggard puts him to death. The New King James is better here. The desire of the sluggard kills him. It's like he has this desire, and it's like, it's killing me that I want this. Why does it kill him? Because his hands refuse to work. Verse 26 says, all day long he is craving, while the righteous gives and does not hold back. See, the sluggard wants, but he doesn't want bad enough to work for it. Sluggards are not people that have no desires for things. And sluggards aren't people who have no desires to get somewhere in life, to be somebody, to accomplish things. In fact, typically the regret of a sluggard is they look back on life and realize that if only they had worked for it, then maybe. The sluggard is somebody who wants but doesn't want enough to do the work. There are plenty of people who want a body like this. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But there are plenty of people in life who, right, Scott? That's not that funny. No, there are plenty of people in life who want to, you know, have a certain physique or look a certain way or run a marathon or do an Ironman. But, and let's be honest, we all would fall into this category maybe. We didn't want it enough to work for it. Well, and some things maybe aren't worth working that hard for. But we're going to see there's a spiritual application. There are people who may want to get somewhere spiritually, but they just aren't willing to work. And it does take work to grow. So again, the sluggard can, but he can't because he doesn't have initiative. He wants, but he doesn't want. He just doesn't want bad enough to work. Sort of like a student who says, well, of course I want to be smart, but the same student doesn't show up for class. Or a teacher who says, yes, I want to become a good teacher, of course, but that same teacher doesn't prepare. Third, as I said, the sluggard is a riddle. The sluggard will, but he won't. And more specifically, he will work, but he won't work. Turn to 26:15, Proverbs 26:15. Proverbs 26:15. Now, the sluggard, here's part A of his work. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. Picture this giant dish of M&Ms. If you don't like M&Ms, make it peanut M&Ms. If you don't like peanut M&Ms or M&Ms at all, you don't like chocolate, make it a big dish of whatever you like, right? And the sluggard is, he wants some peanuts or M&Ms, and he's willing to do the first part of the work. Which part? The part where he's going with gravity. Right? And so he's halfway home, right? The hand is now in the dish. He's got a handful of M&Ms. But what's it say? But it wearies him to bring it back up to his mouth. See, he will work, but he won't follow through. He'll do the easy part of the work where he's just going with the flow, going with gravity. But man, to bring all those M&Ms back up here, what a picture, right? But it really gets close to home here because it's a picture of somebody who starts a project but doesn't finish it. Does the easy part of the project but doesn't do the hard part of the project. It's always easier to start something than it is to finish it, right? It's just easier. Like, you get going, and we're going to start this thing. And my wife, lovingly, and I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. You know, early in life, I would wash, like, all the dishes but the last couple pots and pans. Because pots and pans, I mean, that's a lot harder. So I'd do all the dishes, and I'd be like, honey, I did the dishes. And she'd come out, and she'd say, you didn't do the dishes. Look at them all on the strainer there. She goes, well, what about this? You know, what's that sound of bleeding of sheep? Like, you know, why? What's this pot? But you know what? Nowadays, honey, I even do the counters. Even before she asked. The other night she said, oh, honey, would you also please clean the counter? It's already been done. We gotta finish what we start. Proverbs 10:26. As vinegar to the teeth, and a dentist could probably tell us that I think that's irritating. And as smoke to the eyes, that's definitely irritating. Ask anybody who likes to camp or backpack. So is the lazy man to those who send him. Why? You're going to be irritated because the sluggard is going to start the project but not finish. Start the errand but not finish the errand. So the sluggard's a riddle. He can, but he can't. He wants, but he doesn't want bad enough to do the work. He will work. He'll do the easy part, but he won't do the work to the end. He won't finish the job. And one more. The sluggard is wise, but he's not. Look at 26:16. And here's where we find that sluggardliness can become entrenched. 26:16. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can give a discreet answer. What a picture. Picture a sluggard who's being lazy and not getting a job. And seven of us men go to the sluggard's house, and one after another, first one says, hey, you know, you should get a job. And the sluggard has an answer. Well, you know, I should, but. And then the sluggard says, but then I'd need a car. And so not having a job, I'm smart not having a car. And then somebody else says, well, listen, I'll give you a car. Well, that's all nice. Then I'd have a car, but then I'd have to learn to drive. And the third one says, well, listen, if he gives you the car, I'll teach you to drive it. And the sluggard says, well, then, you know what? Then there'd be
A lion in the streets, there's a lion in the streets, right? That's another proverb about the sluggard. Sluggard's always got some excuse. There's danger out there. I could get sick. I could get hurt. How many people use such things as excuses for not doing work? This is the sluggard, right? He can, but he can't because he lacks initiative. Let me go back, review my own notes. He wants, but he doesn't want bad enough to work. He will work, but he won't work to finish the job, and he's wise, just ask him, he'll tell you, but he's really a fool because he's wise in his own eyes, and he won't listen to the wisdom of others. Well, this is the sluggard. Back to Proverbs 24, Solomon passed by the field of the sluggard. And he passed by the vineyard of the man lacking heart. He didn't have a heart to work. He didn't have a heart to serve. And here's what he saw. Here's the sad sight. Verse 31. Proverbs 24:31. And behold, which is a command that says, take a look at this. It, the field and the vineyard, was completely overgrown with thistles. Now that's a picture of laziness for a long time. It's not like, you know, there was a thistle or two. No, it's completely overgrown. Its surface was covered over with nettles. Nettles are like this really nasty weed. I don't know if they have sort of jaggers on them or not, but that's what it sounds like to me. Like now, it's almost impossible to recover this land and this vineyard. That's the picture. And its stone wall was broken down, which tells you that at one time somebody had put forth the effort to build a stone wall, probably to protect the field, the crops, the vineyard, from robbers. The sluggard has been robbed. Who robbed him? He did. The sluggard is his own worst enemy. And it's a sad picture of the poverty that results from laziness. And what all has been lost? Well, the field is lost. Here, the sluggard, and now think about as I transition into the spiritual application, the sluggard had an opportunity to do work that would be pleasing to his king and profitable for himself, but he lost it. He had a vineyard. The sluggard had this opportunity to do work that would have borne fruit both to the pleasure of his king and to his own good. And he's lost it. But not only that, the stone wall is broken down. Now he's without protection. He's without defense. And it's a picture of irrevocable or irreparable damage. All because of laziness. I heard that a man spoke at a school in Colorado Springs recently against critical race theory. And I heard that it was an African-American man. And he was against critical race theory. And he said, I'm sick and tired of people talking to my children as though they are victims. I have taught them, yes, you are victims of your own worldliness, your own fleshliness, and your own laziness. That's good parenting. And the sluggard is the victim of his own foolish, sinful laziness. It's a sad sight. But what's the lesson? The lesson, well, let's look at the proverb, and the lesson really is the same thing could happen to you. The same thing could happen to you. Look at the proverb, verse 32. When I saw this, now that's interesting. Solomon could have just passed by without paying any attention at all. I mean, he's a king, he's busy, he's got things to do and people to see and places to go. But he didn't. He's looking at the field, which makes me think that maybe he's out passing by on purpose, just as Jesus looks over us and looks at how we're living. I think maybe the king is passing by on purpose and checking in on his subjects. He says, when I saw, I reflected upon it. I looked and I received instruction. That's interesting too, because you know what Solomon could have done is just condemned the sluggard and his sluggardly living, but not taken any lesson for himself. Solomon is showing his wisdom here. He's observing and he's thinking about what he should learn for himself, as opposed to merely condemning the sluggard. When I saw, I reflected upon this, I looked and I received instruction, and here's the proverb, verse 33. We saw it earlier in 6, Proverbs 6. a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and then your poverty will come as a robber, and your want will come like an armed man. So what is this proverb about? Is it about sleep? This is not about sleep, although he uses the word sleep. No, sleep is not a sin. Sometimes you need to sleep, and your body needs sleep. Jesus slept, Mark 4:38. This is not against sleep. Is this against rest? No, it's not against rest, even though the word rest is used. Jesus said to his disciples, come away by yourselves and rest a while. You need rest and you need sleep. No, this is about laziness, which is when you don't do what you ought to do, not because you can't, but because you won't, and because that's work. That is work. If you become like the lazy man, like the sluggard, the biggest loser is you. So beware. Notice what he says. Your poverty will come. And that means undoubtedly. There's no doubt here. You will lose. Your poverty will come like what? Like a robber or a prowler, like an armed man. That means it will come unexpectedly. Suddenly you'll wake up and realize, oh my goodness, I've lost on account of my laziness. And third, your poverty will come first undoubtedly and unexpectedly, but third, your poverty will come tragically. That's the whole picture. You're going to lose something precious, something that you might never get back. And it's the tragedy of lost opportunity through laziness. You know, I think the parable of the talents is very similar. Remember the parable of the talents? One was given five, and one was given two, and one was given one. And what were the words to that servant who took what he was given and hid it? You worthless, lazy slave. Very similar here. Right? I think what else can be lost is your opportunity to serve your king, your opportunity to be fruitful, the time that you were given to serve him, which you can't get back, the resources that you were entrusted, the field, the vineyard, and your reputation, because what is this person called? The sluggard. And maybe even a little laziness can lead to losing your heart to work. The stone wall suggests that he had a heart to work, but later he lost it. And in that second line in verse 30, it says, I passed by the vineyard of the man lacking a heart. And maybe what he lost was the heart to work. This is the danger of a little laziness. So he says in verse 32, when I saw, I reflected. And I think that's the application, is to reflect. So I want to encourage you with four words of application. First, reflect and look out. Reflect and look out. Reflect on this picture and this proverb and look out for laziness in your life. I think I'm generally speaking a diligent person, but I have to guard against laziness. You know, all of a sudden you're like, I don't know. Man, this chair, we got one of those chairs that goes way back. You have one of those chairs that goes way back? It goes way back. I mean, it's a sleeper recliner. And you think, man, I don't feel like doing anything except this, which is okay if you really need rest. But if it's when you ought to be working, it's time to go forward in that recliner and do what you got to do. So reflect and look out. Look out for laziness creeping into your life. Second, reflect and look in. I would encourage you to examine yourself as to whether you've become a little lazy in your life, in your marriage, in your parenting, in your grandparenting, in your ministry. If you're a preacher, are you getting lazy in your preaching? It turns out I'm preaching this after I just preached 9 times on a row at a camp in 5 days, so I feel pretty good. They wrung all the juice out of me. You don't have to preach 9 times a week to not be lazy, but I don't want to fall into laziness, right? And you don't either. So look in and see if you've fallen into laziness in any area of your life. And if you see laziness, this would be the time to say, Lord, forgive me. So third, reflect and look up. Look up to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of my laziness. Forgive me of being like the sluggard. I don't want to be that way. Help me, Lord. And the Lord will help you. He does not want you to be lazy. And finally, reflect and look ahead. Beloved, we don't have that much time left. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. And even if you're a young man or a young woman, you have no guarantee that you have a lot of time left to serve the Lord in this life. Look ahead and realize these are the days to serve the Lord. Make hay while the sun shines. Jesus said, I am the light of this world, and while I'm here, it's time to do work while there's still light. We still have in this country some degree of freedom to gather and to do the Lord's work. But that door could be closing for all we know. The day may come soon when we will be openly persecuted for our faith. This is not the time to be lazy. This is the time to look at all the mercies of God and present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable act of worship. So look out, look in, look up, and look ahead. Just keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, and I would encourage you, you go through the hall of faith, Hebrews 11, and I think you'll see diligence in every member of the hall of faith. They were not lazy people. Since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. That could be the sin of laziness, fleshliness, worldliness. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. This is not a time for us to grow weary, not for a time for us to get lazy or to lose heart. It's really a time for us to say, Lord, help me to be diligent. Help me to be diligent. Finally, a word for anyone here who doesn't have Christ. Jesus Christ is coming, and he is coming soon. He has promised that he will come. And in order that you might be saved from the wrath of God that is coming, Christ gave his life on the cross. We have a cross up here to remind everyone of the work of Jesus Christ. He lived a sinless life. He died a sinner's death. He rose up from the dead the third day. He showed himself alive by many infallible proofs to countless witnesses. He rose up into heaven, and Jesus Christ is coming again. Now is the time to be saved. This is the day of salvation. Today is the day. I would say to you, look down, bow your head, and humble yourself before God and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Let today be the day of salvation for you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this reminder, a reminder that a little laziness could creep into someone's life, and the next thing they know, they've lost precious things, a field, a vineyard, a wall. We lose opportunity, we lose protection, we lose the chance to be fruitful in this life. Father, help us. Help us to battle against fleshliness and worldliness and laziness in our lives and to labor for the coming King, knowing that this labor for Jesus Christ is never in vain. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.